Perhaps such is the nature of us humans that we often chase the moon and the stars when what we have right around us is just as precious and special. Don't you agree? As I've been researching and writing about travel adventures close to home, I've come to realize that there's so much beauty and wonder right where we are. It seems quite funny to me that even though I have now lived in North America for over 20 plus years, I have only been to Canada twice and to Mexico once. And I don't think a trip to Cancun really counts because what I got to see and experience there was just like any other beach town in the States. But Mexico is so much more than just beaches and spring break parties, right? With so much culture, history, ancient archaeological sites, rich food culture, and natural diversity, it is a country worth spending a lot of time wandering, exploring, and experiencing. Which is why I am so thrilled to welcome Carol and Mario, a husband and wife duo from Mexico, on today's podcast episode. Carol and Mario are born and raised in Mexico, and after many years working in corporate, started a travel company to tell real and authentic stories of their home country. They share some truly unique experiences that people can have in Mexico. From food to culture and art and history, Mexico has so much to offer and there's something to do and see in almost every corner. Carol says, Mexico is a place where all our senses come alive. Food, family, friends, and community. People are very vocal with lots of hugs and smiles to go around everywhere you go. We also talked about how travel is changing in Mexico, where locals are going out and exploring their own country instead of focusing on just international travel. Definitely a change we have seen in many parts of the world as a result of the pandemic. When I asked them to give me an itinerary of places to explore in Mexico, Mario jumped right in. He said, Mexico is not just Cancun, you know. In fact, I would recommend you skip Cancun and instead spend time in Mexico City. With so many archaeological sites, a vibrant city square, trendy architecture, art history, coffee shops, bars, and food stalls, you can easily spend so much time wandering the city. A visual feast for all your senses. I don't know about you, but as soon as I feel comfortable enough for international travel, I am hitting up Carol and Mario to help me plan a trip to my neighbor in the south. I know Mexico is a treasure chest filled with experiences that are rich in culture, history, art, and food, and I cannot wait to explore. So come join Carol, Mario, and I as we talk all things Mexico and Mexico City on this episode of Culturally Ours. Welcome, Carol and Mario. Thank you so very much for joining me on Culturally Ours. I am so excited to have you both on the podcast, and I cannot wait to chat with you, get to know you a little bit better, and sort of get to know your corner of the world a little bit better.
Hi. Hello. Thanks so much for inviting us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So before we begin, could you both sort of tell us a little bit of kind of who you are, where you're from, just to help set the stage for this conversation?
Yes, sure. So as you said, I'm Carol and he's Mario. We've been married for 10 years. And I think everything began probably 8 years ago when we moved to the UK. And, you know, we started to travel a lot because the UK is kind of a hub. Everything is quite close and, you know, that flights are not that expensive, like if you were traveling from Mexico. And I think because we travel a lot, we kind of, you know, we started to value our culture and our history and our heritage, really. But we also realized how, you know, damaged the image is about our country. And we really wanted to do something about that. We wanted to change that perception and really talking about Mexico as we know it, which is about, you know, our people, our culture, about everything. It's not about the cartels or narcos. I mean, there's also part of Mexico, but there are so many amazing stuff that we wanted to share with the world, really. And so our background is we were consultants. And then last year we decided to venture, and we launched this travel company that is called Brinca, because we wanted to bring the local experience and share that with the world. what it's the real Mexico. I think that's a little bit of how this started.
Awesome. So you guys are born and raised in Mexico, right?
Yes, that's it. We so live are you probably 25 years or so in Mexico.
Excellent. Now, where in Mexico?
Mexico City, both of us.
Both of you in Mexico yes. City. Awesome. So tell me a little bit about sort of life and lifestyle in Mexico City, and also from the perspective of just how, you know, we've dealt with the pandemic and, you know, everything that's kind of gone on and is still going on in the world.
Sure. So I think, Mexico City is quite chaotic. There are like 20 million people living in there, so it's like a huge experience. It's this kind of places where all your senses are alive, and for us, yes, I mean, we have a huge attachment to food, to family, to friends, to community. And I think with this pandemic, that was really the shock in our culture, because we are so used to be touchy, you know. We love hugs. We love like smiling. When you go to the supermarket, you smile to everybody, and just, you know, wearing these face masks, that gets very, very difficult. So it's been really, really weird, and also it's very interesting for our point of view to see how different is the way the government is handling it, which is not handling very much, like very good, I think. So it's very, how can I say this? I think depending on your economic situation and your social situation, the stories about how people is living and surviving the pandemic is very different.
Right. Very true. And I think that's sort of in so many parts of the world. I'm from India, and for the longest time we just didn't have testing, so you know, there were hardly any cases, and now that we have accessibility to testing, it's just shooting up. But then the story that comes out is like, oh my god, you know, like India is kind of going downhill, which may be true, but also it's like, you know, the population density is so big. It just depends on where you are, I guess.
Yes, exactly. And I think in Mexico it was somewhat similar, that at the beginning there didn't seem to be many cases, but again, probably it was also because not many people were being tested.
So tell me a little bit about Mexico and Mexico City. Carol, you mentioned culture, you mentioned food. It's obviously a very vibrant, you know, alive place, right? So tell me a little bit about sort of what makes life special in Mexico City and Mexico in general.
Well, from my point of view, I think Mexico as a country is special, I'd say, probably because of its history and its natural diversity. So I think between those two, they've made for a very interesting and different country. So it's probably similar in India, that if you go to the north, you have the hills and probably snow cape mountains, right? And then you go to the south and it's very hot and you have very nice beaches. So I think in Mexico you have some of that, but also because of the history, you have all these archaeological sites from ancient Mexico, and then you have we have the Spaniards came and conquered, so that made also a bit of a difference, because then we have all these colonial cities, and then the mix that results from all that past, which I think it's quite. Except probably different. And in terms of Mexico City, for example, you've said it's very vibrant, and Carol said even a bit chaotic. So in between all that chaos, if you go to the city center, you have probably some archaeological sites which were destroyed, and then we have some ruins in there. But besides there, there's the cathedral, and then there's a public square where people do their demonstrations, like political demonstrations or social cause demonstrations. So it's and all that's surrounded by probably food stalls. And so, yeah, I think it's just a very different place from anything else we've seen when we've traveled abroad. But yeah, I think it's also a very interesting mix. You can't get both, really.
Yeah, never a dull moment, right?
Yes, there's a dull moment. That's right.
Now, you know, you guys are in the travel space, in the travel industry with your own company. And, you know, from what we are seeing and what we are hearing, so much of travel has changed and continues to change, right? So how do you see that sort of impacting maybe travel to Mexico, you know, exploring Mexico City? Do you see that changing over time?
Yeah, we do believe it's actually changing. I think for like international travelers, it's because people is kind of afraid of the second wave. Mm. Right now, it feels weird to be so far from home. So the change that we are seeing is more like local people going around Mexico, because actually it's like a huge country. So we see that change. And also, like, as a business, we understand that. And right now, our priority is a little bit different, probably. It's going to be different for the next 6 months, where our focus, instead of trying to get people in Mexico and, you know, urging people to travel, which right now it will be, from my point of view, quite irresponsible even. You know, like, we are living something very different. The disease is still out there. So it would be very responsible from our point of view to encourage people to, you know, just travel and it's all right. I think what is happening is more local people is trying to be around where it feels safe to go. And if anything happens, they can just go back home. But what we're doing is that not because we cannot travel or not because people feel afraid of going to Mexico right now, probably to other places. We're not going to showcase what is our country. You know, we're still doing stuff to share what it's all about our country. It's about, you know, the people, our food and everything. So in our case, that's what we're focusing on. We are just sharing about the people that makes Mexico, Mexico, and sharing mm-hmm. stories. So we still, let's say, spread the love without compromising, you know, other people's health and security, because it's still there, you know.
Yeah.
So we need to be hopeful, but also realistic. And right now, as we were saying, you know, it's traveling through your screen, and if that's what we can do right now, then we're going to focus on that for probably for the next 6 months, and then, fingers crossed, everything is going to back to, probably not back to normal, but at least it's going to be a little bit more calm and controlled, let's say.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, that's the best you can hope for at this point. And I know we're going to talk about, you know, like travel and the future of travel later, so we'll get to that. But kind of bringing it back to, you know, this the whole concept of virtual travel or armchair travel, as they call it, and in the hopes of, you know, maybe planning a trip sometime in the future, right? So if I or somebody else would plan a trip to maybe Mexico or even Mexico City, give me a sort of itinerary on where you would take us, you know, what we would do, what we would see.
Sure. So I think without a doubt, Carol and I would recommend going to Mexico City. So if you go to Mexico
for any reason, you have to stop by Mexico City, and then don't just land in there at the airport and go elsewhere. So I think usually the obvious for many people is Cancun. So we'd encourage you to skip Cancun and go elsewhere. Not because there's anything bad with Cancun, but we think probably that you could be anywhere else in the world. So there's nice beaches and nice resorts, but I think I'd say it lacks a bit of personality, if you get what I mean. So on the contrary, if you go to Mexico City, you're in for a treat in terms of character. So what I would like to say is that also many people, when they go to Mexico City, they go to the trendy neighborhoods, which at the moment are Roma and Condesa. So they are really nice, and actually I guess they're trendy for the right reasons, because they have lovely architecture, like lots of art, old Art Deco buildings, and just mixed with very nice coffee shops and bars and restaurants, which are nice. But I think the Mexico City Center and the neighborhoods around it are really, really nice, because they're just the heart of Mexico City, really. So if I'd probably start any trip to Mexico City with the city center. So in the city center, there's a square called the Zócalo. And that is a massive square. So it's where people would usually do the demonstrations for any political or social causes. And right there, we have the ruins of what Mexico City was once, before the Spaniards came, which is also, for me, it's like really, really interesting, and just kind of picture what the Spaniards might have seen when they came into the heart of the city. So there are still some pieces of that in there, which I think they're just invaluable. And then around there, you have like the government palace and many other government buildings. But probably almost next to the ruins is, I would say it's called just like the government palace, which is not actually a palace, but anyway, that's where the government is based. But what is very interesting there is that there are lots of murals by Diego Rivera, which if you or some people don't know him, he was the husband of Frida Kahlo, which I think it's quite popular these days. He was a muralist and also very active in politics at around that age. So there are a lot of his murals in this palace, which I think are just unbelievable. They're very bright and colorful and quite impactful. And they are pretty much kind of depict the history of Mexico. So from the pre-Hispanic times, and then when the Spaniards came, and then kind of what at that time was modern Mexico, which was pretty much a mix of those two parts. So I think that place for me is just amazing, and also there are some nice gardens in the building, but I think the murals are really what is nice, and feel a bit like small rest out of the chaos of what the city center can be. But yeah, I'd definitely spend at least a day in the city center. You can't really skip it. And then if you want something else to do, which I think is really, really cool, is a place called Xochimilco. That is, or that are the, what were the city canals. So Mexico, I don't know if you've heard, but Mexico City was built on top of a lake, which sounds a bit crazy.
Wow, okay, I didn't know that. Yeah.
You think that probably people just complicated their lives but building in, on top of a city. So, sorry, on top of a lake. So there were lots of canals that connected the city with other places that were not like in the city center at that time, which then were, most of them don't exist anymore. But in this place called Xochimilco, there still have the canals. And there's... that I think it's just a really, really nice place. So there are lots of wooden boats that just take you for a ride. And I think sometimes people just kind of hear that it's cool and they go, and then they would just take them for a kind of a sightseeing tour. But I think the tour in itself is really nice. But then I think there are many other things that make it come alive that sometimes tourists would skip, like just having, you can have like a picnic on the boat. So there would be smaller boats just coming around to sell you food, and it's sometimes really, really good. So you can have some nice quesadillas or things like that bought from the other smaller boats that would just come around. And then there are these places like land called Chinampas, where people like in ancient Mexico used to use for the agriculture. So they would sell things there like corn and courgette, or actually squash and courgette and things like that. So they use that for agricultural purposes. So it's they have like a base made out of wood. So, and then they would just put moss on top of that, and then they would use that as a parcel to actually grow things in there. And there are many projects nowadays that are kind of wanting to bring that back and to rescue those practices of agricultural practices. So it's, I think, also very interesting to see all those nice bits that are happening there. So you can easily spend, again, probably a whole day in there, or half a day having a picnic. They sell plants, they sell lots of things in the different places where you can stop. But I think it's quite nice. Some locals usually would plan parties in there, so like they would just have a birthday or things like that, where you can have from 10 to 20 people just come be in the same boat, food and drink. I think it's you can't drink there anymore, or at least not a lot. Yes. Water and drinking doesn't sound like a very
Not the best idea
to do. So I think there have been some accidents in the past, so now you're encouraged not to drink as much. But it's a very, very fun place, and it's beautiful as well. So I'll definitely go, because it's a bit far from the what you could call the center, or even this other neighborhoods that I was telling you about, which are not far from the city center. But even if it's far, I would spend the time to get there and just enjoy it, because it's really nice.
No, it sounds fascinating. And what as you were talking, I'm just like, picturing it, right? And the fact that there's so much and so many different things to do.
Yes.
And right? I mean, you can explore, you can, people watch, you can look at these murals, and then this architectural sort of reviving sounds really interesting, because it's such a big part of your history and your culture that you don't want to miss
it. Yes, absolutely.
Hey there. I hope you are enjoying this episode of Culturally Ours. Did you know there are so many wonderful resources, articles, and blog posts on the website to extend your Culturally Ours experience? We also have a library of free resources, like a travel guide to some of the most culturally diverse places around the world, a global kitchen essentials cheat sheet, and so much more. Head on over to culturallyours.com/free to grab these, and be sure to check back often, as we're constantly adding more resources just for you. Now, let's get back to the episode. Now, one thing that you both have alluded to, and what, you know, I'm sure we're seeing in the travel space, is that people want to go more sort of grassroots, right? They want to go off the beaten path, not super crowded, and very sort of hyper localized, if we could call it, experiences. So the next few questions are sort of your, I want to hear your perspective. I want to hear your preference and, you know, kind of why, right? So what is your sort of favorite restaurant and why?
I think I'm going to start with that one. I think this is like so difficult to answer because as in your country as well, like food is at our core. So we have like many options, but I think lately my favorite spot is called Terraza, which means terrace. Okay. Terraza Cha Cha Cha, which is a place that is very close to this. It's in the city center, actually. But I think to me what makes this restaurant very special is that it's on a top floor and it's a terrace because, you know, the weather in Mexico City is really nice most of the year. Mm. And you can actually see from your table, like Mexico City's Revolution Monument. I think we could share a picture of that because the view is just amazing. And on top of that, the food is great as well. You know that sometimes when the view is really nice, food is completely horrible. But in this case, it's absolutely amazing. And also the name, like cha-cha-cha, it's a type of rhythm. It's a type of music. So you know, it's like very crowded, very loud. The music is amazing and it's full of locals. There is like it's in the city center, but the people that actually go are like the locals. So to me, that's just, I think summarize what Mexico City is all about, like just laughing and eating and enjoying the view, enjoying the sunset. It's just a huge experience. I really, really like it.
That's like travel 101, right? Go where the locals go. you can't mistake the food, and it just gives you such such insight into, like you said, you know, the culture, the vibrancy, the noise. It's just feel alive, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I think, from my perspective, probably not a restaurant in particular, but tacos. So tacos al pastor, and I'd say, as you were saying, locals can't go wrong. So wherever you see lots of people, you should go there because empty taco places are not a good sign. But anywhere that have lots of people, it's probably worth the wait. But there's a place in the city center, but they also have now some branches in different places throughout the city called El Huequito, which means like the little space. Something like that, a little whole little space, because when they started, it was nothing more than just a tiny space where the taquero, the guy that prepares and serves the tacos, he would just be there in between two buildings. So that's how it started, and now it's a chain. But even though it's a chain, it's still really, really nice. So I think that the tacos are quite good. And I think they're getting, I mean, they've always been the basic Mexican food, I guess. I don't know anyone in Mexico that doesn't love tacos. So
I don't think there's anybody in the world who doesn't like tacos.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I just love them. And yeah, but you would need to go to eat tacos. And in Mexico City, there's a type of tacos called tacos al pastor, which are made out of pork, and it's like a marinated pork. So, and actually, the story goes that they have some based or part of its heritage on the kebab. So imagine, you know, the kebab. I don't know how it's called, like the tower of of steaks that they have, where that they cut the meat from. I don't know the name really, but well,
I don't know either. But I know I can picture exactly
in
what you're
Mexico
saying.
We call it the trompo. Okay. So because of the shape, so yeah, instead of having kebab meat, it's lots and lots and lots of pork steaks marinated in a kind of sweet and sour sauce. And then, yeah, you just, they have charcoal to, usually the fire is made of charcoal to kind of cook it. So they just spin it for some time and they put that into the tortilla and then it's usually topped with very nice salsas, which, yeah, I think I love those tacos. So anyone that goes to Mexico City should go and have tacos al pastor, and really any place with them should be okay. But then this place, El Huequito, I think it's quite good. But
I love the similarities too. I mean, like in India as well, you know, these, we call them redis, which is like the guy with the cart selling tacos. We have those kind of things too, where, like you said, you know, they're probably standing in the street corner or between two buildings, and it's just like a snack. You just, you know, kind of, you see him and you kind of have a snack and then you go about your day. It's fascinating that it's, and I'm sure this is in other places in the world too, where, you know, this kind of food cart or food truck that we call it in the US, it's, you know, it's there on the street and you just, it's basically street.
Yes. These ones in particular are not usually based like on street stalls, just because the thing that they use is probably a bit harder to put on a cart. Although I'm sure there might be a couple of carts around, but and there are lots of tacos obviously on the streets, like literally under bridges and things like that, but this particular type is sometimes harder to find it, like literally on the street, just because it's a bit harder. They probably need a bit more of equipment, although people always find a way.
for sure.
Yes.
Now tell me, what is your favorite activity?
I think mine, there's another neighborhood called Coyoacán, which I love. It's in the south part of the city. Again, Mexico City is huge. So to me, like, spending a Sunday in Coyoacán is just amazing. You just, you know, it's like a Sunday stroll. There are lots of street food and street performers. You can just, you know, sit in the fountain and just do your people watching stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
having an ice cream, a churro, coffee. Oh my God, yes, I love that. Like going to Coyoacán on a Sunday, it's a must for a lot of Mexican families. And that's really amazing, because you go and there's probably, you know, probably a group oh my God, I forgot the word in English, of tourists. and the rest of people is just local people, and maybe it's people that they drove for 2 hours just to get to Coyoacán on a Sunday because they love it. It's just such an amazing experience. And it's a very different neighborhood. It is very colorful. It's like going to a small town inside Mexico City. So to me, I think that's one of my favorite activities. And all my activities are all related to food.
I know, I can sense the pattern here, Carol. And I think perhaps having this conversation at around noon is not the best, because I'm starving now.
Yeah, that place that Carol was mentioning actually used to be a village, a town out of Mexico City, which obviously with the city growing and growing and growing just kind of swallowed it up. So it is now a neighborhood of Mexico City, but feels like going to the small village, pebbled streets and very old buildings and things like that.
Oh,
so yeah,
nice.
It's really really nice. Yeah, you can spend a really nice day during the weekend in there.
Now, you guys talked about the diversity in not just kind of people, but also like landscapes, right? So what is what are maybe some of your favorite outdoor spaces or greenery and things like that, which maybe are kind of off the beaten path, more like a tourist hangout, kind of like this little village, but more like outdoor spaces?
I think Chapultepec's park, which is actually in the city center, it's a massive place. Like, it has like many different sections. They say that is one of the city's lungs because it's so huge and so full of trees that it actually helps with all the pollution that we have in Mexico City. I think probably some tourists go to a small part of it just because there are many museums inside the park.
Okay.
But there are also, I mean, we have a zoo inside the park. There's a lake as well. There's
a castle.
Yes.
Oh.
So it's so huge that I think even if you go as a tourist, you can't manage to see everything. And it's also full of people running and doing exercise. And again, food stalls. And it's a very, very interesting place. And it's an outdoor space, which I don't think we have enough in Mexico City.
I think it just came to mind that there's also some places on the outskirts of Mexico City that are like really, really, really local. I don't think I've ever seen a tourist in this place. There are a couple of them, but one is called La Marquesa, which is where people would go for a picnic, and then there's horse riding or also kind of ATVs and things like that. But it's very much what people would do if they want to have some kind of contact with nature. Like not a very long drive, and then you would just take your stuff and have a picnic there. There are some kind of it's quite nice.
Oh, that sounds
and
nice.
And I think it's always been popular, so I don't think its popularity has ever changed with locals. It's always, I think, it's been always a bit popular.
Well, it's good to have...
I don't think it's ever. I don't think I've ever seen it in any kind of tourist guides or anyone mentioning, I've actually been to this place. I guess because it takes some time to get there, so probably people would just stick around to other areas. But they are quite nice. And yeah, especially if you probably just go to Mexico City and want to get in touch with nature, you could just easily go there. Yeah.
What about like local experiences? Think cooking classes, since we are so much into food. Or maybe painting or something that, like you said, is not on the typical tourist agenda, but definitely something that will help you get a feel and a flavor for Mexico and Mexico City.
I think one that comes to mind now and is quite fun is that sometimes during the, on specific weekends, especially Sundays, they close one of the most important avenues in Mexico called Reforma. So they close that, and then you can use it to cycle. But I think it's really cool, and it's pretty much just local people doing exercise stuff. But I think it's really great for sightseeing because, as you can imagine, any other day it's really busy, full of cars. And you have many, actually, landmarks of Mexico City in that avenue. So I think it's a really cool way to explore the city and see it from a different perspective. You can just hire a bike, or sometimes they can just lend it to you. There are different stalls there where you can have it. But for some reason, that's also very local. I guess it's because there's not like a very set schedule for that to happen. So I guess just people would just miss it or something, but I think it's something really, really cool to see, to see and do. And yeah, I think that that's very cool.
Now, what about maybe like a local gem or something that you, even you guys didn't know existed and you've kind of recently discovered? I know we talked earlier about how travel is shifting a little bit from more touristy to more like local people traveling. So have you found something that you maybe forgot or, you know, haven't been in a long time and you were like, oh, this is such a cool place?
I think it actually happened back in February. I didn't know we had a botanical garden in Mexico City. I had no idea whatsoever. And it's just such a peaceful place. And it's beautiful. It's huge. Like comparing with other botanical gardens that I've seen, it's beautiful. It's amazing. And it was just a surprise because few meters away is just all the traffic and all the cars and all the noise. And you just walk like 10 meters or 20 meters and you're inside this botanical garden that is absolutely amazing. And I was really shocked because I was like, oh my God, I've been here many times and I've never seen this place before. it felt weird.
It's not too far from where we used to live, actually. So yes, it was kind of a surprise.
Those are the best kind of surprises.
Yes, and I think there's also in terms of food again, they're opening lots of places now and then in Mexico City, but we went just before all this COVID stuff happened to a really tiny place called Expendio de Maíz, which is a restaurant. It's a very it's a tiny restaurant. I think they have probably two
tables,
kind of large tables, so you would usually sit with more people. So I don't know whether it's open these days because they're like shared tables with other people, so I don't think they would probably be doing that now. But anyway, everything is about corn, so maíz is corn, so it's all about corn. And they do, it's not all you can eat, but they would ask you how hungry you are, and then they would just start bringing like rounds of food. Everything is prepared there at the moment, and as I mentioned, everything is based in, the base of everything is corn, which is funny because many times when tourists see a menu in a Mexican restaurant and things just seem to be the same because everything starts with corn, blah, blah, corn, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, isn't it all the same? And it's no, it's really different. but it just seems to be the same because the ingredients might be the same, but then as you cook them and prepare them, they're very different. But anyway, they just start bringing you like a starter made out of corn, and then something else, and then they would be, do you want some more? Yeah, sure. Why not? And they just keep bringing it, so it's just I think we had like four.
I love the concept of asking.
Yes, because I don't think I've seen a place like that before, and the quality of the food is really, really, really nice. So everything is locally sourced and organic, etc. But the flavors are just really, really good. Because the dishes that they do, you could say that they're like basic or in terms of kind of Mexican food staples, but with some twist. So that place, we were just amazed. We loved it. We were like, oh, we're coming back every weekend while we're here in Mexico. Obviously, we didn't go back.
COVID took care of that.
Right. Yes. But it's great that concept exists, and you know, to have it theme based, and also like, you know, this community sharing or this table where you sit with a lot of other people. It just makes the experience so much richer. You know, you end up talking to somebody, you kind of end up kind of, you know, learning their story or just smiling and engaging.
Yes. And it's one of those places where you can see that the staff is really proud of what they're doing, what they're part of. Because I think the staff probably, well, I just mentioned that there were just a couple of tables, but also the waiters are the ones that are cooking or helped cooking. So I remember that time the waiter told us that she had spent quite a few hours preparing some of the sauces that were accompanying one of the dishes. So yeah, it was, they were really nice, but also they seemed to be very proud of what they were doing. And yeah, we just loved that place. So hopefully it's we go back.
Beautiful concept,
somewhere that we would definitely go back to.
Now, this is taking a little bit of a shift. So I know there is no sort of right or wrong answer. So whatever you guys think and, you know, whatever you're comfortable sharing, where do you think travel is headed in the future?
I think the trend is going to be like, at least probably for the next 2 years, that everybody is going to rediscover their local highlights or the local cities or towns that they haven't seen before. And just mainly because of this fear of being trapped somewhere where you don't belong. So I kind of sense that. I mean, I might be wrong. And I also know there are people that they are quite adventurous as well. And they know that right now is probably the time to book travels because it's also cheap. There are like many promotions. So there are like many kinds of behaviors at the same time. You know, it's like people react very different to a crisis. And you see that even on the streets, you know, like there's people that they actually use the face mask everywhere, even if it's not required, or people that they don't care, even if it's required. So I think it's the same with travel. I think most of the people are going to stick to their local highlights. There are going to be adventurous people that they are like, you know, let's do it right now because it's very clear that life is short. So we need to make the best of it. But that's my opinion at the end of the day. So,
Mario, what about you?
I think it's, as Carol mentioned, probably people turning towards their own countries or areas, just trying to explore around home, and probably not just your city, but other cities within your country. And yeah, I guess also it's a good for more adventurous people, it's a good time to travel because everything seems to be cheap. But it just, at least for us, we think it's probably a bit hard with all the requirements, probably changing as we speak every day. So you could just go somewhere and find out that you need to be quarantined for 15 days or something like that. When in the case, if you're traveling somewhere as a tourist, just doesn't make much sense because you would spend probably half of the time that you're traveling in there. So I think probably also the people that are traveling would probably look into longer term travels as well, where you can see things more calmly and spend some time in there. So even if you need to be quarantined, well, at least it makes sense because you'll be there for more time. But
I agree.
I don't think many people would be doing like long flights to go to the other side of the world and you have to spend a couple of days.
It's no longer the, you know, 2 days in Paris and mm-hmm. 2 days in London and then just kind of fly out. I think those days are probably not going to come back.
Not soon. I don't think so. Yeah.
All right. So what are your travel plans? Having said that, what are your travel plans? And, you know, maybe not now, maybe sometime in the future, where would you like to go next?
Well, in the shortish term, as you know, we live in Margate at the moment in the UK, but we'll be moving back to London in the next couple of weeks. But then in the next year, probably around January, we want to go to Mexico. But well, obviously visiting family, friends, but we would also like to explore some areas. There's a place called Oaxaca, which is another state, which is amazing and like super diverse with mountains, beaches, colonial towns, etc. But and we've been to a good part of it, so we just love it. But we haven't been to the mountain area in Oaxaca, so we are thinking of exploring that a bit. And probably, as we were saying before, like more calm and in a relaxed way, kind of spending there some time, probably having Oaxaca city as our base, and then just explore some of the surrounding areas that we haven't been to yet. And in terms of our second home, it is here, the UK and Europe, we're also thinking probably going towards more unexplored countries in Europe. So we've been to Romania before, and we really liked it. So we're thinking probably either going back or any other countries around the area, let's say more Eastern Europe than the other countries.
I think for us, what really changed was we are now going to try this location-independent lifestyle. Because as Mario said, we think that traveling is going to be like calmer and you need more time to, even if there is like a lockdown and you can just go outside for an hour or whatever, if you are going to stay in the same place for 2 months, then it's like, okay, that's all right. So we're doing everything to kind of turn around our life and the way we work and everything to being able to spend time in a country and really explore it, but at the same time, if anything happens, it's all right for us to stay there longer. Right. And definitely for us, is Mexico is huge, and there are so many places that we've been before, but we now want to really go deeper, let's say. So we'll see. That's the plan for the next month. So we'll see.
It sounds like a great plan. Thank you both so very much. This was amazing. And I seriously need to go get a snack now because I'm so hungry. But I really appreciate both of you coming on. And it's clear that, you know, Mexico and Mexico City are very special. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you for inviting us. And have you been to Mexico yet?
No, I am waiting for the time when you guys go so I can come along and I can explore
Absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely. We should do that.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed the show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.